Open up your Bible this morning to the book of Luke chapter 3 verse 16. Luke chapter 3 verse 16. Last week, our service was on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and we went back into the Old Testament and we seen how the Holy Spirit worked among the prophets, the priests, and the kings in the Old Testament. And it was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. There's a little bit of a difference there. It seems that the Old Testament, as the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets, the priests, and the kings, it was to help them fulfill their assignment that God had given them, to do what they were called to do. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and enabled them to do great things for the Lord. All the revelations that the prophets got came from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every word that they got came from the Holy Spirit. Elijah was able to do great signs and wonders through the Holy Spirit that came upon him. Samson was able to do great things when the hand of the Lord came upon him. But the Holy Spirit did not live inside of those in the Old Testament. That is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One had the Holy Spirit upon them in the Old Testament to fulfill their assignment and to do what God had called them to do. And in the New Testament, when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit had a new working. He come to live inside of every born-again believer. It was not just for a select few. It wasn't just for the prophets and the priests and the kings. In the New Testament, anybody that called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to indwell them and seal them, hallelujah, until the day that they meet the Lord in heaven, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside of every child of God, not just a few. If you are born again, you're born of His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 9, that if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are none of His. None of His.
Amen.
That means you don't belong to Him if you don't have the seal of the Holy Spirit. That is the guarantee. Hallelujah. Now, that's something that you don't see happen if the Holy Spirit move in. The Holy Spirit is a He. You cannot see Him, but He is very much just as real as the Father and the Son. And then you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit today. Let me say this. David in the Old Testament. We talked about the working of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel. And when he did, the Holy Spirit came upon him. David was the new king. But the Bible said that the Lord withdrew His Spirit from King Saul. He withdrew it. He took it back. The hand of the Lord came off of him, and it was placed upon David. And David walked with God and had a heart after God, a man after God's own heart. And David got very well accustomed to the presence of the Holy Spirit. He loved the Holy Spirit. But at one point in David's life, David stumbled and David fell into sin. And he tried to hide his sin. And he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had a child by her and had her husband actually put on the front lines in the war zone so that he would be killed. And David tried to hide all that. But the Lord knew it all. Even though we try to hide our sins, they're never hidden in the eyes of God.
That's right.
Man may not see what you do in the dark or in the closets or when nobody's watching, but there's always one that has seen everything, and that is Almighty God Himself.
Amen.
We never get away with anything.
That's right.
He's the all-seeing eye. He knows our hearts. He knows what we have done and are going to do. But David fell into sin, but he got it corrected. Nathan came, the prophet, and corrected him, and David repented. Okay? But in Psalms chapter 51, David said this. He recognized his fault. He repented of his sin, and God forgave him for his sin. But in Psalm 51, David said this. Lord, please, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. After he'd seen what Saul had went through, after God withdrew his spirit, Holy Spirit from Saul, an evil spirit came and began to torture and harass King Saul. And David went and ministered and played for King Saul. But David recognized after he fell, the one thing that he asked God for was, he didn't say, Lord, I don't want to lose my position as king. He didn't pray that. He didn't say, Lord, don't take away these fancy robes and this crown and this throne that I sat on. Don't take this castle from me. He didn't say anything. He didn't pray about that. The one thing he said, don't take, that meant the most to him was the Holy Spirit. Please don't take the Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
That's how valuable the Holy Spirit is in our lives.
That's right.
You have him in you. You need to recognize that he has moved into you.
That's right.
He is the one that enables you and helps you every day.
Amen.
Jesus called him the helper, the comforter. He empowers us. The Holy Spirit anoints us. He teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us His gifts. He gives us revelation of the Scriptures. And He helps us bear fruit for the kingdom of the living God.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, we're moving now into the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church. And with the vast difference is, after Jesus died and was glorified in heaven, Jesus prayed to the Father to send the Helper, to send the Comforter, to send the Holy Spirit to the earth. And God the Father sent the third person of the Godhead to the earth. The Holy Spirit has been here, and He invaded, in Acts chapter 2, He invaded the upper room. Jesus told His church, He told His disciples, He told the believers, He said, don't do anything, but go to Jerusalem and tarry there and wait for the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come to you. For you need to wait for the power from on high to come to you before you begin to start any ministry, do anything on your own. If you're going to build my kingdom, you have to have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to do it.
Amen.
Don't ever think that we can today that we can get away from the Holy Spirit's help.
That's right.
If we're going to build His kingdom, if we're going to do the church thing, we can't do it without Him.
That's right.
And anytime you try to do it without Him, you end up with nothing.
That's
but dead, cold religion.
That's right.
Dead, cold religion won't get you to heaven.
Amen.
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 So, the ministry in the New Testament church of the Holy Spirit, we had to have. It was a necessity. It wasn't a maybe that you could, if you wanted him or if you didn't want him. If you don't have him, you have a sad religious church service.
That's right.
Jesus did everything that he did in his ministry on this earth. He did it as a son of man, as a man in the flesh, but anointed by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He was equipped with the Holy Spirit to do what God had called him to do. When did this happen? It happened in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. After Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he lived, and the Bible never mentions the Holy Spirit using him at all until he became at the age of 30. His ministry began. And his ministry began in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. When Jesus came down the hill to the Jordan River and he met John the Baptist there. And John the Baptist had come to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he was baptizing people unto repentance in water. He was fully immersing them in the Jordan River. People came from everywhere, hallelujah, to be baptized. And when Jesus came, John the Baptist recognized him. Now he already baptized probably thousands and thousands. And I don't know how many had came to him. But when they came, he never recognized any of them as being the Lamb of God. But when Jesus came to John, he recognized him as he looked. He said, "Behold, look, stare at, stop everything. There is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Look on him. There he is. That's the one we've been waiting on since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We've been waiting on him to come. He's the seed of the woman. Here is the Messiah. He's called the Lamb of God. He's come to sacrifice himself." And he came down to that water, and John the Baptist said, "He's mightier than I. It's time for y'all to take your eyes off of me, because he's here."
Amen.
He said, "I just came to prepare you, to let you know he's coming, and to get your hearts right so that when he comes, you can accept him, hallelujah, and you repent of your sin, because this Lamb is going to bear your sin on the cross."
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
So he said, "There's one coming after me that's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I ain't even worthy to loose. When he comes, he will baptize you." He said, "I baptize with water." John the Baptist said, "I baptize with water. But him, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the living Son of God, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, the Bible said, John said, when he baptized Jesus, he seen a dove descend from heaven and light upon Jesus. And he knew that was his signal. That was his confirmation that God, that this was his son, when he seen that dove leave heaven and light on Jesus and remain upon him. He said, "This is him."
Amen.
Ain't no mistake about it. This is the Messiah.
That's right.
And what happened that day when the Messiah went down in that water, got baptized with water, the Holy Ghost and fire fell on Jesus. The Spirit of the living God came to live in man. Not just upon man, but in man. The Bible said the Lord gave the Jesus Christ the Spirit without limit, without measure. Jesus Christ was not only, he was filled from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with the Spirit of the living God. He had the fire of God in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He had the Holy Spirit to do in him what it would do in the coming days when he would fill the believers. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in every born-again believer. Amen? I'm trying to get you to see how the Holy Spirit works in the New Testament. Amen? He works in every believer. If you're saved, if you have accepted Jesus, and when I say accepted Jesus, what do you have to do to accept Jesus? What happened? What do you have to do to be born again?
Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth.
Believe in your heart? What? Believe what in your heart?
That Jesus Christ died.
That Jesus died, right? What? Died on that cross. You have to believe that. It just don't happen because Jesus died and rose again. You have to believe in what he did.
That's right.
You have to believe in that word. Hallelujah. You're not going to make it to heaven unless you become a believer.
Amen.
I believe he died on the cross. Hallelujah. I believe he rose on the third
day.
Right. I believe he ascended into heaven. I believe he spread his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And I believe he's coming back. But when he died, he sent the Holy Spirit to this earth.
Amen.
To live inside of the believer. And what Jesus did with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life, he had to do that so that after he died, you could do what he did.
Amen.
Right.
Understand?
Amen.
He had to do it. What some people don't understand in some religious circles is they think Jesus, because he was the Son of God, that he left heaven with a divine power and divine anointing. No, the Bible said he stripped himself.
That's right.
Of everything.
That's right.
He didn't come to this earth as a king.
That's right.
He come here as a Lamb of God.
That's right.
Born in a manger.
That's right.
With nothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He didn't have no royal robes. He didn't have a crown on his head when he walked on this earth. He was a king, but when he came the first time, he didn't come to behold the kingdom. He didn't come to hold that crown on his head. The Israelites wanted the crowning king. He rejected it. Why? He didn't come the first time to be the king.
Right.
The second time he come, he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The second time. But the first time he come as a lamb. Amen? And he come to be sacrificed. He come to sacrifice himself on the cross. He come to stand in the gap for you. He took his place on that cross. Hallelujah, and was nailed to it because you were in his mind. Hallelujah. He come to bear your sin upon his own body. That's the only way that you ever going to make it to heaven is because he took your sins. Hallelujah. Thank God he paid for your sin.
That's right.
He shed his blood so all your sin could be washed away.
Amen. Amen.
If you have the Holy Spirit, it don't matter if you're Catholic. It don't matter if you're Methodist. It don't matter if you're Lutheran. It don't matter if you're whatever. Presbyterian. Episcopalian. Yes. There's so many out there. Uh-huh. We could go all night.
Uh-huh.
But how many religions they are in the world. But as long as you're born again, it doesn't matter what church you're sitting in. If you're born again, truly born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
You'll never be able to make it to heaven without him. He is your guarantee. He's your seal. If you don't have him, you're in trouble. If you think you have him but don't have him, you're in trouble.
That's right.
You got to know that you have him. Do you know that you're born again?
Amen.
If you're born again, he comes automatically.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He comes automatically. That's how you know you're saved. But after you get saved, there's another infillment, another empowerment. We call that the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And this anointing is what they received in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
They got empowered.
That's right.
Amen.
They got empowered. They got empowered. They waited on the promise of the Father that Jesus said, don't do nothing until you receive the promise of the Father.
That's right.
Don't think you know how to do this. Let me tell you, if the New Testament church didn't have the Helper,
that's right,
the Holy Ghost in their lives, Christianity would have died out by now.
Amen.
It would have been long dead and gone. It probably wouldn't have took 20 years after Jesus died. Christianity and Jesus Christ would have been well forgotten. Do y'all hear me? Without him. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, I'm going away. He said, but I'm going to send the Helper to you. And it's going to be to your advantage that he come. But if I don't go, he can't come. And it's going to be better for you that I go, because when I go, he's coming.
Amen.
It's going to be better for everybody, better for the whole church to have him than just me here on this earth.
That's right. Amen.
That's hard for us to understand. We want to be able to touch Jesus. Amen. We want to be able to talk with him and see him and eat with him and just fellowship with Jesus every day in the flesh.
That's right.
But that ain't possible anymore.
Amen.
He's not here in the flesh anymore.
That's right.
But the Holy Spirit is here. And he's come here to fulfill the ministry of Jesus in the life of every ordinary believer.
Amen. Amen.
In every ordinary believer. The thing about the early church is the Holy Spirit took ordinary men, fishermen and tax collectors, just ordinary men, and they became extraordinary when the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon their lives. They began to do exactly what Jesus was doing.
That's right.
Exactly. Jesus told them, he prophesied ahead of time. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said this. And most people don't believe this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Jesus said it. And if he said it, it's true.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
It may be more than you can have faith for, but he said it. And if you have faith for it, you can do it. What did he say in John chapter 14, verse 12? He said, he that believeth in me,
that's right,
will do the same works that I do, and even greater works than these shall they do, because I going to the Father.
That's right.
He said, I'm going away, but you're going to do the same works that I do, and even greater.
Amen.
Do y'all hear that? The same works of Jesus. How many people read that and say, man, I'm supposed to be doing what Jesus did?
Amen.
And then you begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you begin to look at what Jesus did, and you say, man, this guy here, he was a miracle worker. He walked on the water. He calmed the sea with words. He raised the dead to life again. He gave sight to the blind. He opened up deaf ears. He made the lame walk again. He did all these things, and you telling me I'm supposed to be doing what he did? Yeah. Most people say, Pastor, you out there on a limb now? You out of the boat now? I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
Man, when I read that years ago, after I got saved, mm-hmm, I read that verse.
Amen.
I was actually in the middle of reading the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. Those are five books, three times in 1 month, when I got this branded on my spirit, was John 14, 12. When I read that, it was like the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, read that again.
Mm-hmm.
I read it. You know, sometimes we speed read.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get done, we ain't even digested what was said.
That's right.
We don't even know what it said. I slowed down enough to reread and reread and reread till I got that in me.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus said, he's talking to me when I read the Bible.
That's right.
He's talking to you when,
amen,
you read the Bible.
Amen.
He said, Brother Skidmore, Brother Word, Brother Jackson, to the Clydes, to the Standards. He said, if you believe in me, you'll do the same works that I do.
Amen.
And even greater works than these shall you do. He didn't say me, but you shall do, because I'm going away.
Amen.
And then he gave the answer how we were going to be able to do it. And if you read on down, from verse 14, 12, you found in verse 16, he said, the helper's coming.
That's right.
The helper is on the way. The comforter is going to come. Hallelujah. He's going to be with you and in you. With you and in you. He's going to be out here and he's going to live inside of you. He's going to take up residence in you. And you're going to be able to do what I was doing. And then you take and open up the book of Acts. Jesus is gone. He said, it's to your advantage that I go. Because he, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, your empowerment is coming from him, the enabler. He's coming to live in you. And Peter, an ordinary fisherman, began on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came in and cloven tongues of fire set upon each one of them, 120 or so, they came in and said, what is this? These folks got to be drunk. They got to be out of their mind. Listen to way, look at the way they acting. Look at the way they stumbling around. Look at these tongues they talking in.
Come on.
They talking in tongues. They talking in our languages. And they're glorifying God. And they're Galilean. How are they speaking our language? That's they don't know our language.
That's right. Come on.
It was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. A gift called the gift of tongues.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Which functions in many different ways.
Amen.
But they were in field. They were empowered. And Peter was not a coward anymore.
Uh-huh.
He was the one that denied Jesus on the cross. But now, a few days later, he is now standing up, hallelujah, and saying, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but they, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Uh-huh. And he began to preach. And he laid out a sermon that was so beautiful. And he didn't have time to study for it.
Come on.
He didn't have time to get ready for it.
That's right.
It was spontaneous.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whenever the Holy Spirit is living in you, he can do a suddenly work inside
Amen.
Of you. He can give you a message just like that. He can change your message. He can lead you. He can guide you into all truth if you'll just allow him to move in you.
Amen.
And Peter
Amen.
Preached that glorious service. Hallelujah. And that same day, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved that day.
Amen.
And just a few days later, 5,000 was added to the church.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Guess what's happening? The Holy Spirit is working through the disciples to glorify Jesus.
Amen.
They're doing the same thing that Jesus was sent here to do. How? By the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to do what he was doing. Hallelujah. There was such an anointing upon Peter when he walked down the street and his shadow was healing people on the sidewalk.
Amen.
The lame began to walk. The blind began to see. Hallelujah. Demons began to come out. Hallelujah. Just by his shadow walking by. I'm telling you, these men were full of faith, full of wisdom, and full of the Holy Ghost. And because they had the Holy Spirit in their lives, in the New Testament church, they were able to get the gospel to the world. To the world. We have the gospel today because the Holy Spirit lived in Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and all the early church.
Amen.
We have the gospel. They took it to the world without radio, without internet, without Facebook, without all these current TV and everything. They did it by Pat and Charlie.
Amen.
Walking, going with a mule packed on ships and boats. They traveled. And they traveled with the Holy Ghost living in them and empowering them to share Jesus with the world.
Amen.
If they hadn't had the Holy Spirit, Christianity would be dead and gone. Jesus said, don't do nothing till your helper comes.
Amen.
Don't try to build this kingdom without him. Amen. If you do, you're going to fall flat on your face. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And like David said, Lord, please don't ever take your Holy Spirit from us. The good thing about the New Testament, hallelujah, is Jesus said, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Thank God that you can't run him off.
Amen.
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 I am so glad that if I miss it, the dove don't fly away. I'm so glad that if I talk about somebody, or backbite about somebody, or fall into some area of sin, I'm glad that the dove just don't fly off.
Amen.
I'm glad he sticks with me. He says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get through this. I'm going to help you get this sin under the blood of Jesus. I'm going to help you be victorious. I'm going to help you. I'm not leaving you when things get bad. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, y'all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The ministry of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament church, you can't live without. You got to depend on him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me read something from the book of John, chapter 7. John 7, 37. Are y'all still here this morning?
Amen.
Or did y'all stay up too long last night playing video games? You know, you'd be surprised how many grown men come to church and can't even stay awake there in church because they play video games all night.
Come on. Come on.
You ain't got to worry about them going to the world and preaching the gospel. Lord, have mercy. Anyhow, if you're watching, turn the video game off. Turn Jesus on.
Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 7, verse 37. Well, the book of John is loaded with Holy Ghost information.
Amen.
How many of y'all know, you should know, maybe you know, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible said that the Holy Spirit came upon men of old, and they began to write as the Holy Spirit spoke to them.
Amen.
He's the author of this book. If anybody's going to help you understand it, it will be him. Moses just sat down one day under a tree with the AC on and get his pen out and said, let me see what I can imagine happened in the book of Genesis and the book of Leviticus and how the Lord told him to build that ark. Moses wasn't even there. But the Holy Spirit came upon Moses and he wrote how God told Noah how to build the ark. Noah didn't leave a letter. Joseph didn't leave any letters. But Moses, through the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him and he wrote in the beginning.
Amen.
Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He knows the book. Now, in John chapter 7, this is something some people, it's hard for them to receive, but let's see what the Holy Spirit says in the scriptures. John 7, 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone, thank God that the gospel goes out to anybody.
That's right.
If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, you got to believe. Those of you that are caught up in universalism out there, I hope you get to watch this, because unless you believe in the scriptures, you can't receive what has been written in the scriptures.
Amen.
You have to believe Jesus died on the cross. You have to believe he rose from the dead. You have to believe, hallelujah, in him and the blood that he shed on Calvary to make it into heaven.
Amen.
You ain't going just because he did it. You have to believe it.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Hallelujah.
Now here's what's important. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. He's talking about the rivers. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit, when it gets in you, it'll be like a river. And it'll be flowing like a river. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing, gotta believe, in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
That's right.
So when I tell y'all that everybody does not have the Holy Spirit, and those in the Old Testament didn't have him in them. Mm-hmm. It was upon them. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified.
That's right.
What does that mean when Jesus was glorified? After he died, after he rose from the dead, the Bible said he ascended into heaven.
That's right.
If you read in the book of Hebrews, you'll read that Jesus took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, the original mercy seat is in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
What we had down here on earth that Moses built was a copy.
That's right.
That was already built in heaven.
That's right.
But Jesus, when he died, he took his blood and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And when the courts of heaven were justified in the eyes of Almighty God, hallelujah, and God said, it is finished, it's done, it's well, everything that you're supposed to do, my son, is well, it's done.
That's right.
Jesus said, okay, Father, now, since everything's complete, send the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, mm-hmm. and he will send.
Amen.
He prayed to the Father, he spoke to the Father. Father, send the Comforter.
Uh-huh.
And God said, everything's paid in full, he can go. Holy Spirit, go to work.
Amen.
He came to the earth. And he came, he was here. And everybody that said, I believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. Holy Spirit said, he moved in.
Amen.
He moved in. And I don't want to run him off. I want more of him.
Amen.
If you want more of him, you have to thirst.
Amen.
You have to hunger.
That's right.
You have to submit. You have to surrender. You want more of him? He ain't leaving. But if you want more of him, you can get more by a surrendered life.
Amen.
That means you're working with him. Now, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to run through some things real quick. I'd like to take more time to cover these more extensively. But because of time, I'm just going to give you a few things of what the Holy Spirit comes to help you with. Okay? What he wants to help you with. You may want to take notes and write this down. In Romans 8:26 and verse 27, the Holy Spirit, he has come to help you pray. He come to help you pray. Those of you that have a prayer life, especially in the beginning stages of as a Christian, we all know we're supposed to pray.
That's right.
The Buddhists pray, the Muslims pray, the Hindus pray. Every religion has some form of prayer. But as a born-again Christian, when you first get started, you're like, man, how do you pray?
Amen.
Because in the beginning, you can pray 5 minutes and you done prayed out.
That's right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, I don't know what else to say. I've been here 5 minutes and I've been talking to God and I really don't know where else to go with this thing. And there's sometimes in your life when there's a matter brought before you and you feel led to pray about it, but really you don't really understand or know what you should pray. And anybody ever been there?
Amen.
How do I pray for this? Especially when you get caught off guard. You get caught in a state of an emergency, such as a building falling in an earthquake. I mean, what do you pray? You ain't got time to get real religious and, oh God, I sure do need you now. It's like, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes Jesus, just calling upon the name of the Lord is plenty.
That's right.
But there's some situations that you don't know who to pray for and how you need to pray for. Somebody may lay, the Lord may lay Pastor Timothy Tang on your heart.
That's right.
And you don't know Timothy Tang personally like I do. But when you hear about me talking to you about it, he may lay him on your heart this week. And he's constantly there. And you be thinking, Timothy Tang. What is going on with Timothy Tang? You don't know. You know what you're supposed to be doing? Praying for him. You don't know how to pray. Ain't nobody told you nothing. So guess what? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit can intercede through you.
That's right. Come on.
He can help you pray.
Amen.
And not only help you pray, he can help you pray the greatest prayer that will hit the mark, hit the bullseye. Amen. It will help you hit and know the will of God. Instead of just praying a roundabout manner, the Holy Spirit can help you pray and help you pray. The Bible says, pray in tongues.
That's right.
You have no understanding, but the Spirit knows what the heart and the mind of God is and the will of God, and he can pray with you and through you in the Spirit.
Amen.
When you don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
Pray by the Spirit, with the Spirit, through the Spirit. Hallelujah. But it's all by the Spirit, and he can help you pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. How many of y'all got a few more minutes?
Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Said, but God has revealed. Let's read verse 9. We quote this a lot of times. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I have not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
Okay? But don't stop there. Go to verse 10. But God has revealed them. Yes. God has showed us through his Spirit. Mm-hmm. We see these things. We know these things by the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit going to show you all things that have been fully paid for by Jesus Christ. They're in the Bible. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal them to you. He's going to help you understand it. Hallelujah. He's going to help you grab a hold of it and walk in it. Without him, you can't. The Holy Spirit gives us revelation. He's the one turns the light on. When we read in the scripture, the Bible said that the natural man can't even comprehend the understanding of the scriptures.
That's right.
The natural man. A natural man means somebody that ain't born of the Spirit. He ain't born of the Holy Ghost. He try to open his Bible and try to understand it. He ain't going to get it.
That's right.
He ain't going to understand it. He going to walk around one shaking his head and say, I read the Bible, I don't understand it. Well, if you say, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it, he will open your eyes.
Amen.
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 The Bible says the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into deception.
That's right.
He will lead you into truth.
That's right.
He will not lead you into error. If you fall into error, if you fall in the ditch, if you get deceived, it ain't because you were following the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That ought to be your red flag. I'm off course. There's a lot of people get off course because they get outside the scriptures And the Holy Spirit don't get outside the scriptures.
Amen.
He comes to confirm the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just a couple more. The Holy Spirit in John 16:8, his job is to convict. He brings conviction upon the world. He comes to convince, to rebuke, and to expose. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. When a preacher stands up to preach the gospel, he should be depending on the Holy Spirit's help, the unction of the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks the gospel and preaches the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes behind the word and works with the word and convicts sinners of their sin. Whenever you preach Jesus Christ, you preach the cross, you preach the resurrection, the Holy Spirit's job then is to go out and touch the hearts of the people and convict them of their sin and say, you need to repent. That's what the Holy Spirit will tell you. You need to repent. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. It's conviction. I got convicted in my heart on February the 8th, 1992. That's when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It didn't come because I imagined it. If I was thinking about it, it was Holy Spirit conviction that came in there and lit on me and stayed on me and moved my heart to make a right choice. He didn't make me make a choice. It was up to me, but the Holy Spirit convicted me.
Amen.
And listen, if you do wrong, as a believer, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You start cussing like a sailor. When you get mad, you start cussing like a sailor. Don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, come on.
Unwholesome words. Bad, ugly, foul mouth. Demon in your mouth. When you get mad, and if you can cuss like a sailor, and the Holy Spirit don't say nothing to you, you might be in trouble. You may not be saved. Because whenever you mess up, he comes. He's already here, but he said, hey, brother, that ain't what Jesus wants for you.
Come on.
Right.
You can't lift up Jesus talking like that.
Come on.
You're going to have to get that up under the blood.
That's right.
You're going to get
that,
get this right with God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit said, I'll help you clean that mouth up. If you'll cooperate with me, I'll clean that up. When you get mad, and you're going to get mad again, but you won't be using no foul words.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You'll say, Jesus! When you hit your hand with a hammer. Instead of foul mouth.
Come on.
But anytime you get out of the will of God, the Holy Spirit's job is to get you back in it.
That's right.
He will convict you and say, this is the wrong direction. This is not lifting up Jesus. If you have a hard heart and you mistreat somebody, the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, you need to ask for forgiveness to that person.
Come on.
You need to get that right, because that does not represent Jesus in the earth.
Come on.
The way you acting. Get it right. He'll convict you. He'll show you. If you ain't ever hearing nothing from God correcting you, convicting you, something wrong.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Something wrong with you.
Tell the truth.
Something wrong with you. I didn't say nothing wrong with God and the Holy Spirit. Something wrong with you.
Come on.
So he convicts. He convinces. He also rebukes. And he exposes. He speaks. The Holy Spirit has a mouth. He can speak to you. You have to be sensitive enough to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Amen.
Amen. It might save your life if you have ears to hear.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit may tell you, don't go there today. Don't go to Atlanta. You're like, I don't know why I got to go. I got an appointment I got to make. It's a lot of money on the line. I got to go. The Holy Spirit said, don't go. And you get in your car and go on up in there anyhow and get in a wreck. Could be deadly not being able to hear what the Holy Spirit's having to say to you.
That's right. Amen.
There's all kind of things that the Holy Spirit can give us correction on.
Amen.
Can help us with. But we got to have ears to hear. The Holy Spirit's speaking, but a lot of times people ain't listening.
That's right.
That's the problem. And the last one, and we're in closing, is the Holy Spirit, He is the greatest teacher. Mm-hmm. 1 John 2:27, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, the Holy Spirit has given gifts to the body of Christ. He's given apostles, He's given evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers to fivefold ministry to the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints. But the Holy Spirit is the number one teacher. If you're an apostle, a prophet, or whatever, you should be dependent on the Holy Spirit to help you teach the body of Christ. I'm so dependent every week that I stand up here. I just don't stand up here. I'm praying. Y'all, I wish y'all could hear how many times I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help this morning.
Amen.
I need your help this morning. I need your help tomorrow. I need your help, Lord. I can't feed these sheep without you.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I understand how much is on the line, and without Him, I can't do nothing.
Amen.
I'm going to Kenya. Last thing I want to do is pack my bags and leave the Holy Spirit home.
That's right.
I ain't going nowhere without Him.
Amen.
I got to have Him. He is my teacher. He brings fresh revelation out. He makes everything new. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me this morning. I think that may be enough. If you've been watching us by media this morning, it was our honor to come into your living rooms, into your home. We love you with all our heart. We hope this message on the Holy Spirit has been helpful to you to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Learn to depend wholeheartedly upon the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to know Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Already had been crucified, already died, buried, and He rose on the third day. No matter what country you are in, if you're a Hindu, if you're a Muslim, it don't matter where you live or what you do believe. You must believe in Jesus Christ to inherit eternal life. You have to turn from these false doctrines and turn to the living Christ. Jesus is the answer that you're looking for. If you want peace, hallelujah, if you want your heart full of love, if you want to be saved, born again, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit will do the rest. You believe, He'll move in. We love you. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.